Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Welcome back to the DWI podcast. My name is PC Tunney. I am the artist formerly known as Pizza Funny, and I am joined, as always, by the man, the myth, the legend, the other half of the world's greatest tag team never. It's him. It is him. The scientist, indeed. DPP.
I have no former. Not formerly known as anything. Currently known as.
Formerly known as a good time, DPP.
Hey, now, wait a minute. Spreading those rumors.
I kid, you're still fun, but none of us are really as fun as we used to be, right? You know what I'm saying?
I'm not even close. Give me a nap and I'm good.
We are not alone. Rejoining the show, the man who's been away out on hiatus for just a few weeks, he is back and he is more funky, phenomenal, and fresh than ever. It is the trivia trickster, AJ Belaz.
I mean, I'm feeling a little funky, especially since I got a little bit of the D from DWI in this. Going on right now.
And what does the D in DWI stand for?
What does it stand for to you? If this wasn't if the title of this episode wasn't predetermined, I think we just had one.
The D in DWI. But no, we did already have one predetermined because, well, we got stuff to talk about, right, Tony?
Well, I mean, you can tell them if you'd like. I predetermined it. If you'd like to tell them the title, go ahead. They should already, if they're listening, they should already know.
Yes, the Not So Money in the Bank preview.
Yeah. Well, it's just going to be Not So Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't need any.
Yeah.
Not So Money in the Bank. You get the point there. You know, cut the crap, which is what they should have done last weekend. You know, before we get into it, we can talk about this. So DP and I and Brother Joe and the General got together and watched it. And after it was over, I said, that was the worst pay-per-view in like over 2 years. And the General hadn't watched a pay-per-view in over 2 years. And DP, without hesitation, goes, yep, thanks for coming.
Wow.
Or sorry, or something like that.
Sorry,
I don't know,
this one.
Like, the General's a good wrestling fan, though. Like, he is actually, like, a really big on the vignettes. He loves that about WWE. So I could see him actually paying more attention in the vignette before the matches to kind of refresh himself with everybody. But he even said it. He goes, I got to see two really cool ladder matches with some fun stuff, you know. So he was pretty good with it. But, yeah, that was kind of the, It was not the greatest pay-per-view, but we're going to talk about that shortly. Before we do that, though, folks, we're going to take a quick break. And before we do that, I'm going to tell you about ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. Go check it out. Plenty of great T-shirts, plenty of great designs. You can get it in long sleeve. You can get it in a hoodie. You can get it in a tank top right now for the summer. Get it in soft style. Your nipples will appreciate that. That's ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot. You're already listening to ChairShot Radio Network. You know it's on all of your favorite streaming platforms. And, of course, thechairshot.com, where we encourage you to always use your head. Some of the best coverage around. If you're looking for a great analysis and a little bit of opinion mixed in, Stephen Mitchell and Andrew Balazs, they're covering everything from New Japan to TNA to NXT to Raw to SmackDown to Dynamite to Collision to Rampage. I believe Stephen Mitchell even fucking suffers through that sludge. That guy must have one thick pair of boots and one gigantically sharp, deep shovel. So good for you, Stephen Mitchell, on that front. But yeah, for now, it's DP, PC, and AJ. We're all back. We're Alphabet Soup. Thanks, Tommy Rich.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
This is your boy Kenny Killer telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
You want to ring the bell, DP, if I got to the 5 minute mark there? Well done. And I tried to really had to stretch the chair shot promos out there.
Could have found something.
Where's Chris Platt when you need
him? Lego talk.
I gotta get a hold of that guy just to cut a couple commercials for me, some new ones.
Stretch it out a little bit. Give me a longer one, please.
Hey, yeah. Bash can even do one if he wants.
That's how I get him. I think that's how I get him. Hey, give me a call so I can see Bash. Okay, well, you're on here.
3 hours later.
So DP and I watch it together. DP, I'm pretty sure, has the same thoughts as I do. Since neither of us were really said much about anything while the show was going on, to be honest with you, we were basically just stuffing our faces with some of the best pizza in town, which, good God, did I take a fucking beautiful pizza shit the next day. Like, it was a lot.
Spicy.
I think I had, like, 9 pieces. Yeah, and that good ass salsa you had and chips were excellent.
A spicy salsa. Just like a little over the top.
But yeah, we'll get to that. Yeah. We'll get to more of that. But AJ, how did you enjoy the show?
As you guys said, and as we mentioned what the title's gonna be, after the first match, I'm just like, and I know how all of this is gonna play out. Great. I believe we're all in the same consensus of this was possibly the worst pay-per-view in a while. Or PLE, yeah, sorry.
It wasn't bad, okay? I wouldn't, if someone said how was the pay-per-view, I wouldn't say bad. I would say it was a very average show that was exacerbated by a misstep in every single match, and in some of them multiple.
Mm-hmm.
Now, reading some comments from some people, I love to go on Cage Match because you can see what the people rated the pay-per-view and their comment on it. And like somebody mentioned that they didn't, this is not my thoughts. This is just a question. When I read it, I thought I'd bring it up to you guys. Do you agree or disagree with this observer, I guess you could call them, of someone who watched Money in the Bank? They felt like, why would you give the Money in the Bank briefcase to Drew McIntyre just to lose it in the same night to add fuel to a fire that was already a red-hot rivalry, and you missed the boat on Jey Uso? What do you guys think of those thoughts from one viewer?
I guess I'm going first, since Dan and I are trying to be too polite here. Right. Just say, you go. Yeah, no, you go.
Like Spider-Man.
I mean, I could talk for 60 minutes if you guys don't want to.
No, it's fine. No, I'm in agreement.
Oh, no, it's fine. It's fine.
No, it's, okay. It's God, fine. No. John, please shut up.
No, it's
anyway.
Fine. Shut the fuck up. I'll go.
No, I agree with that reviewer, only because you already had the entire thing with Punk planted after Clash of the Castle. Clash of the Castle ruined Drew's opportunity to get the championship. So now we're going to essentially waste the men's Money in the Bank briefcase to further a feud that didn't need anything further. You could have had Jey Uso win it. That would have been okay. You could have had Chad Gable win it and just get tortured by the Wyatt Six until he remembers to say thank you and is actually a decent person again instead of being this bully. He could have given it to LA Knight because everyone loves LA Knight, but it just feels like you threw it in there for the sake of throwing it in there. And it made not only the Money in the Bank seem irrelevant this year, but just you're just throwing more to this feud that didn't need to be thrown in.
I'll save my thought for last. I asked the question. Go ahead, Dan. I won't cut you off.
Because
you're probably going to say the same fucking thing that I'm going to, so go ahead.
Probably. I would disagree with that. I think that it was absolutely needed. I think it was perfect. I think having McIntyre continue to be like, say what he's going to do, and he's still playing like he's in the right, like, and showing that, yep, I'm going to win the world. I'm going to win Money in the Bank. It's guarantee. I'm going to cash it in and win. He did what he said he was going to do, and Punk fucked him over again. And it absolutely adds fuel to the fire. I mean, I know it was already like hot, but now this is just boiling over and just makes it that much better. And the briefcase, that's fine. The briefcase did really what it was going to do this year. It was going to accelerate and increase the intensity of that feud. I would love to have Jey have it, but why? You could have Jey win. If he's going to win a world title, he can, what's to say there's not any impromptu title matches that happen, or what's to say Jey Uso getting that main event match and winning it on his own without needing to cash in a briefcase by defeating somebody is even bigger than him just cashing in the title or cashing in a briefcase. Same with Chad Gable. I could see the argument for, like, cause he could be a guy who could cash in and win like as a heel, you know, kind of a weasel way. But I think, you know, that's just the briefcase was a prop this year to increase that feud between McIntyre and Punk. And it did what it was going to do.
They could have, to play devil's advocate, they could have had Punk cost Drew winning the briefcase, and it could have done almost as much. Now, here's my thing on why I think they used it the way they used it. Cody's not getting cashed in on. And if you think Gunther's beating Priest at SummerSlam, Gunther's not getting cashed in on. So if you don't have plans on using it and having it cashed in successfully, I don't want to see Jey Uso or Gable cash in unsuccessfully, because I don't think Andrade or Carmelo or even LA Knight or are in any position to carry the Money in the Bank briefcase. And yeah, I said it. Yeah.
No, nah, I completely agree, because everything looks like he's going to face Logan Paul at SummerSlam. So why give him the Money in the Bank?
And hey, that's fine. What if he has a fucking year and a half, 2 year rivalry with that guy? That's fucking huge, right? Eventually he's going to win that title. Somebody's going to take the rumble, that title from Logan Paul. That's a great point. But I think they just have plans for these world titles. And this year, kind of what DP said, but just to a different effect of a different reasoning, almost, this was what they needed to do with it, because it was the best way to not have someone lose when you already had plans for these world titles. Now, a lot of people say this is Triple H's worst pay-per-view since taking over. I would say so, but I would say it almost isn't his fault. Like, if there are no missteps in any of these matches, we might just out of habit go, oh, another great pay-per-view. Actually, I was really entertained, you know, and I don't know, but it did happen. So what did you guys think of the men's Money in the Bank briefcase match overall, though, this match in general? Because it was pretty clunky, in my opinion. I'll be brief with it until the point.
The ladder match?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very clunky.
It was definitely the worst of the two. And the other one wasn't much better.
Yeah, there wasn't really many highlights. I mean, the Andrade flip over the top of the ladder onto the other one. I can't remember who he flipped over. Is that
Carmelo?
Carmelo?
I think.
Carmelo, yeah.
Yeah. Like, was like was the only good spot.
I was sober for this pay-per-view.
That was strange. he was Forrest Gump, and he drank a lot of glass bottles of soda. It wasn't Dr. Pepper's, but, you know.
Yeah. I had a yeast infection.
Was it too much pizza?
From the beer? No. I just didn't feel like drinking.
Nah, it's fine. Yeah, I'm in the same vein where the ladder match was okay. There were some spots that just looked very clunky, like you said. So before the Andrade sunset flip off the ladder to Carmelo onto the propped one, they propped a larger ladder on the outside already. And we already know, yeah, they prop those up for a future spot. We know that. We're not that dumb when it comes to wrestling. But it kind of felt like, why did you even try to do that in the first place? That just makes everyone kind of look dumb. I appreciated the fact that it was Chad Gable doing a belly-to-belly to LA Knight to take him out that way. But the match was good. I agree with you, Dan, though, where it wasn't the better of the two Money in the Bank ladder matches, even though there's a lot to discuss about that Money in the Bank ladder match as well later on. But like I said, when we were just talking about the pay-per-view, as soon as I saw McIntyre win, I'm just like, I know how everything now is going to play out for this entire pay-per-view. And this sours my appetite, I guess.
I just disagree with the order in which they presented this card. They could have made the card better, too, with it using a different order, because that last match was really not good at all. We're going to get to that. But, like, that could have kicked off the show. Roman's just as likely to fucking run in and at a kickoff match as he is the last match of the night. If that's why they had that last, to make you think Roman was coming and it's got to be last, I don't know. But just speaking, because of we've started the card, I thought that should have been first, and I thought the men's should have been title should have been last. Little even more pop onto that. But let's talk about one of the highlights of the night. In my opinion, I thought Sammy and Braun had a really good match, and I think it was really smart to have Sammy beat him, because they are continuing this feud. This is going to be a rematch at SummerSlam, I believe, because Braun came out and attacked Sammy after the pay-per-view the next week on television.
As I believe Pat McAfee said on Raw afterward, Braun Breaker's built like a brick shit house.
Yeah, if you can see the social media posts on go on X, I think it might be on WWE's feed even, and Michael Cole's just losing his shit. Like, you can truly see how much Michael Cole enjoys working with Pat McAfee.
Oh, without but and it's going to get even Vince crazier. Yelling at him.
Guys, it's going to get even better when it goes to Netflix. I'm telling you. Oh, this is like, I mean, you think it's good now.
I know for a fact on Instagram they played that where it was like, it is 9:52 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. There's no other way to describe Bron Breakker other than a brick shit house. Right. And then I think an during orange. Commercial break, he just covers his mouth and just says, I'm so sorry.
Orange brick. DP?
Yeah. I kind of was surprised. I thought that it would more end in a disqualification to keep the feud going where Breakker still doesn't take the loss. But, I mean, it's no harm to him to lose to the Intercontinental Champion and to a guy like Sami Zayn, though. And just adds more anticipation for the SummerSlam match that these two will have.
I think it gives him I think it puts him over more as a heel because he couldn't beat him straight up the first time. So now he's obviously going to cheat and win the second time. And that just makes him even more of a bad guy, AJ.
I mean, it definitely makes him more look like a bad guy where it's as much as we know that he's not green in the ring. That entire match made it seem
orange. It's very much orange.
He's very much orange. You are correct. But it shows that he still has a lot to learn from that match.
Weren't you glad I didn't say Bron Breakker?
God, I'm so glad we were predetermined on the title name. Because I know for a fact you would have petitioned for that one. But
dumb.
Without a doubt, like it shows.
It's like
that
I'm sitting here playing cards with my brother's kids or something. You nerve-wracking sons of bitches.
Where the fuck was that? That sounds so goddamn familiar.
That's Tombstone.
Is it Tombstone? Billy Bob.
That's Billy Bob Thornton. He's dealing to fucking the outlaw dudes.
Shit, now I gotta rewatch that. But it's a great movie.
Way better than Wyatt Earp.
But match,
came out at the same time. It's way more interesting.
It did.
Like,
within a year. Oh yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. I'm not denying
one's
that.
One's Kurt Russell and Val Kilmer as Wyatt and Doc, and the other one is Kevin Costner and Dennis Quaid as Wyatt and Doc, and Kurt Russell and Val Kilmer. Now, I mean, if you've seen the movie, you can picture Val Kilmer. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, that comparing apples to oranges. Aren't you glad I didn't say Bron
Breakker? Doing the gun twirling with the cup he was drinking out of. I mean. Oh, that's just okay. Back to the wrestling. Sorry. Back to the less interesting things.
No, you're fine. But yeah, it showed that Braun's still kind of wet behind the ears with things. But like Pat McAfee said, Rick Shithouse, he's still built. I feel like he's going to win it at SummerSlam just because this is just me. I know other people will probably have a different opinion, but Sami Zayn, with this run with the Intercontinental Championship, has been very lackluster to me. Where he's only defended really against Chad Gable 3 times. Now he's defended against Bron Breakker successfully. He's
been in feuds, AJ. He went into a feud.
I'm aware, but I'm just saying, like, it just feels very lackluster to me.
Go watch AEW, guy. Come on.
Absolutely not. What are we going to Mariah May beat up Toni Storm with another high heel? No, thank you.
See, you're talking about it.
Because it came up on my freaking Instagram feed.
Do you have any other thoughts on this match, Daniel? Son?
No.
No?
Okay. See, now look who's bringing up AEW with Danielson, huh?
Let's get Danielson, like Cobra Kai, like Ralph Macchio.
I'm being an asshole. It's what I do best. It's what Belaz does best.
Let's get to the worst possible moment of the night, which happened in the match of Damian Priest beating Drew McIntyre and Seth Rollins after Priest cashes in. But before that, after McIntyre cashes in, but before that happens, Priest just doesn't kick out, and the ref is like, I'm not supposed to count three here. That's for fucking sure. And he just gets up and says, like, what the fuck was that? And it was like, I will picture Seth sitting upright going just like, what? Like, I have that picture strong in my mind. What? Like, what do they explained it as a stinger and he couldn't move? Like, really? Like, Don't you verbally say something then and get Seth to pull you up or something? Like, I can't move. Like, I would rather have that come over the audio and save that embarrassment of exactly what happened. I
completely agree, because as soon as that happened after the Falcon arrow, I remember that. Just the one, two, three, but not really three.
He got to hear and he went, no, I can't.
No, he kicked out. No, the fuck he did it.
How much more was still to come? Like, what do you do? Like, at that point, then Priest or McIntyre can only cash in on Rollins, because Priest is not involved. The match is over.
Yeah.
And Rollins would have been champion. Like, there's no way you could have that happen.
I feel
Rollins,
like,
if I'm Rollins, I get a good lawyer and I get a rematch, because I got screwed right there.
Right.
Absolutely. To which,
is that why?
Honestly, can you trust Damian Priest? And is it going to be a triple threat at SummerSlam? Did they hint at that on Raw? I don't think they did.
No, they just said
it. I don't think they did. No.
No, they decided to just renege on the whole Seth Rollins can't challenge for the title anymore.
Well, yeah, I see mad when they talk to each other, yeah.
But no, I don't think so. And you know what? So what? Then he can keep his shoulders down, because he ain't winning at SummerSlam, so.
We'll see.
I think everyone in Chairshot is under the consensus of Gunther's winning this goddamn world championship.
I don't know.
Unless they wait to Berlin, but I don't know.
I don't know. We'll see. Maybe, maybe not.
Right.
But yeah, that was just awful, where the Falcon Arrow, one, two, I don't know if Damian just missed a cue or he didn't hear a hit of the mat.
Said he had a stinger and he couldn't lift his arm up or whatever. I don't know what the deal was. Either of them, I guess, but whatever. I mean, at this point, yeah, I would have, if you're going to have Gunther win and then have Seth get his shot at have him beat Seth, like beat Priest, then beat Seth and it's like home territory, that would be a pretty good, strong start.
Sure. Works. Don't get me wrong. That does work, but it makes everything look bad, because you could still try to like move your, like the lower extremities to like kick, and Seth can still just like make it believable.
I think the biggest thing is if you're going to run that excuse out, then you could talk. You should say something. I'd rather hear you telling them and seeing them do that than just have the ref just stop here. When
he could have just
literally
said, I can't move. Pick me up. You know,
I mean, yeah, like with the Falcon Arrow, all you have to do is just kind of move your body for, like, because it's a Michinoku driver.
But he couldn't move, AJ.
Where was the stinger? That's the issue. Because if they're using the excuse of he had a stinger, so that's why he couldn't kick out. He could still attempt to move something, and Seth could do something or say something at least.
We got to go by the only explanation they're giving us is the fact that he physically couldn't kick out.
So then Seth Rollins should have won. I understand that the match was supposed to be Damian wins, but if that's the case, then Seth Rollins wins.
Just tell him to pick me up. That's all. It's easy enough.
All right, let's move on from this debacle.
That's the thing.
That's
and
how
then
bad.
Drew, saying the same
that,
thing.
That
Drew
show,
cashes in.
That
CM
match
Punk
was so bad, it's
stuff.
Ruining this.
Exactly.
Yeah. Talk about the cash in. Talk about Punk, DP.
As expected, you know, McIntyre does his cash in, makes it a triple threat, and immediately we get Punk coming in from the crowd and attacking Drew McIntyre. No disqualification, obviously, now that it's triple threat. And there's the end of McIntyre's chance at winning the title. And the aftermath of that, after the pay-per-view is over and Drew McIntyre losing his shit, just continues to, you know, him just over the top now to being the heel, angry at everything, getting, quote, suspended. Is just makes this much watched television now. It's just him chasing Punk around to get his hands on him, and Punk one-upping him at every turn, and it's fantastic.
Might I say this? The MVP in this entire feud is Adam Pearce due to the fact that he used the exact same excuse as Tony Khan did for AEW with everything happening with CM Punk. I don't know if you saw his ex account or not, but he was like, me and it, like the female that was in the post-match ceremonies, I think her name was Jen or something, is like, we were scared for our lives with all of that happening. And I went, this is why you're the best, Adam Pearce. Big shout out to you.
Is this match going to happen at...
Oh, without a doubt, it's happening at SummerSlam. We're basically getting the Summer of Punk, too, with all of this going on. Just without a championship.
I'm assuming he's cleared to wrestle?
I mean, oh, he looks like he's ready.
Oh, he's definitely cleared to wrestle.
Pretty physical already.
Yeah. Especially with everything he did against Drew and everything for Money in the Bank. He's 100% already. It's just he's not medically cleared, as I throw all of these air quotes.
Well, we don't know that. Let's get into what we do know. Was the Women's Money in the Bank match was good. But there were some really shitty fucking spots, and Zoe Stark tried to kill herself on a ladder, and what the fuck was that?
Oh, was it Zoe Stark?
That looked like a 6-year-old jumping off the lowest diving board into the pool, like spinning, half twirling, and then going in and thinking they did like the greatest dive ever. Like, oh, I just did a gainer.
Oh, you mean the like corkscrew, whatever that was, onto someone?
I wouldn't call it that. I wouldn't call it a corkscrew.
It looked bad.
I call it a screw up. You can't do that move, don't do it.
Which is sad because she's proven that she can do it before. It's just, I guess, with the... I don't know. It looked bad.
The better
thing was she took that driver onto the ladder, and it looked really good with Io Sky. That I'm not going to deny. That looked good. I'm just going to say, like, because I really enjoyed this match. Because Chelsea Green making herself the funniest and greatest performer that was in there, not going to lie at all. I know the missus to the right of me said, I want her to win just on principle for just trying to jump up in the air and try to reach it, or grab a ladder and try to poke it down that way. Just out of principle, I am happy that Tiffany Stratton won, because, I mean, I think we all predicted it's Tiffy time. But this match had so many botches, and the one thing I'm going to say is, and I'm not saying this negatively, but this is like the third time I've seen her botch a match. What is up with Lyra Valkyria? Because she tried doing a tornado DDT off of the top rope, and she basically crotched herself into the rope to try to make this work, and it just looked so awful. She did it against Nia in Queen of the Ring. I believe she did it on a Raw before, and I'm just looking, and then this is strike three. She's out. What do we see in her other than just this risk taker?
I don't know. I mean, other than the botches, from what I've seen in her, like, she has good charisma. She has the ability in the ring, but like when it comes to the big stage, she's kind of failing, and that may hurt her somewhere shortly down the road, because they seem to be giving her a good push. And Chelsea Green, I think, was the one also messed up the unprettier that they tried to do, because she had him held the wrong way, and that just looked awkward too on the ladder. It was just there was too many messed up spots in this match to make it great, when they had some good spots that could have made it a fantastic match. And Chelsea Green taking the big dump off the ladder to through the tables that they set up was a fantastic way to end it. I think, yeah, she definitely was the one who, we talked about it, deserved, would have been great to have her holding the Money in the Bank, but Tiffany Stratton was the one that was going to have this and you know, make it happen and win the title here down the road. But yeah, too many bad spots just in the match.
Tiffany Stratton, it's just a smart play. It's too bad for Chelsea, because if Tiffany was like a year earlier in her progress up the ladder, this might have been Chelsea's time. But that's not going to hold Chelsea back. Like, Chelsea is going to be in WWE as long as she wants, because she fits that mold. And when you don't put her in out-of-the-box situations, she does look good in the ring. And she's phenomenal character-wise. We were all cracking up with her getting in the ring right of the way and jumping up and doing all the fun stuff, the Chelsea Green stuff. But, yeah, Tiffy time is here. I'm looking forward to that. Also, her association with Nia Jax lately, that's going to be pretty interesting as well. So that's going to be fun. I'll see if that carries forward. Now let's get to the final debacle of the night.
So I'm just going to ask one last question with the women's stuff. Because if Chelsea did become the women's champion, she did say that she wants to try to reinstate the Divas title.
Yeah, that's
stupid. How are you guys feeling about that?
That was dumb. You shouldn't have brought it up.
I don't. It's very Chelsea Green, though. That's why I brought it up.
They'll never do that, though. But they'll never. I don't mean to insult you, but they would never bring back the Divas title.
Dan.
She could bring it back as a joke, like the $1 million belt.
See, that I accept more than actually making it a realistic title.
It's not going to be a real title, that's for sure.
All right, let's talk about the biggest joke of the night, though. The last match of the night. And everybody knows that meme of The Rock in the gray shirt from the documentary where he's like kind of explaining, like he just told somebody something really important, you know? Seen that meme, everybody? A million times, saying different stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had to throw one out there too, and mine was, you know, and I looked Tongaloa dead in the eyes and told him, check the oil, brother. Because jeez, that first nut shot looked like he stuck his thumb up his ass.
Yeah, he personally gave him a colonoscopy, and then the second one he punched his brother in the face. Jesus Christ. I'm very much like the other Blaz, where I enjoy Japanese wrestling. I do. But the fact that I'm so happy that they decided Tongaloa is not wrestling, that was the greatest decision they made for that entire match, because he's not that good. He really is not. Tama carries all of the talent. And the fact that Kevin Owens is putting him in a package pile driver, he freaking conchos him in like on the first attempt and then punches Tama Tonga in the head on the second one. Jesus Christ. Thank God Jacob Fatu was the third man.
The only saving grace to that this match was Jacob Fatu taking the draping DDT and standing up like a Samoan because he got hit in the head, and you don't hit Samoans in the head. And Randy Orton doing his turn around for the, you know, RKO and going, oh, well, shit. That was like the only saving grace to this match, because it was just so sloppy everywhere.
To which I'm going to say, and I know I'm not the IWC war chief, but I did see a bunch of things on the formerly known as Twix. Freaking everyone saying, oh, well, if this was Will Ospreay and there was a no sell on that, everyone would complain, but he no sold the entire.
You've been gone for a while. I think you forgot what show you're on, because you're making a lot of mentions of shit we don't give a flying fuck about.
I don't care. I'll pod this. I don't give a shit.
Look at, did you see the Wikipedia had this match up for a while for SummerSlam? I don't know if you can see it. Come on, you gotta see it. Come on.
Yeah. I'm not seeing it on
camera
my end.
Camera.
It's kind of too bright.
Oh, nice.
Oh, crap. It's Greg DeMarco versus PC Tony for the World Heavyweight Championship. Oh, God.
Who's fighting for the Women's Championship?
Oh,
I don't care about
Dami Mysterio, Kathy Kelly.
Somebody was fucking with it all day, and I seen Van Vliet go, oh, look what it is. And then I looked, and it was something different, like Chris Benoit was fighting. So I was like, I wonder if I could edit this. So I went in there, and definitely. I edited it on Wikipedia.
Why couldn't you?
Yeah. But it's like someone was complaining. It's like, well, if Will Ospreay did this and everyone complained that he no-sold this, here's the thing. Jacob Fatu has been called the Samoan werewolf. He's trying to be built up as this monster. You think the Hangman DDT is going to put him down?
Dan already gave you why it works. Because it's a story that's been already told for decades that you don't hit Samoans in the head because it doesn't come out. Right.
You don't, because it doesn't do shit.
And that's a difference between what you're saying and what he said.
Well, it's also because they're building Jacob Fatu as a sociopath.
Right, but even if they were, it wouldn't make sense outside of, you know, the only reason they could no sell it is because of the history there, not because of the building. That's my opinion.
Which I'm not disagreeing with. I'm just saying, because I've watched Jacob Fatu since MLW. I mean, hell, he was my first interview ever, but...
He's looked amazing.
He's looked amazing, and he's looking the part as the insane person of the bloodline that is kind of the wild card.
Oh, 100%.
That is the best way to describe it.
There's a Roman Reigns versus Jacob Fatu championship match down the line for a lot of money. And kudos for Triple H for getting him into Canada.
Kudos for Triple H getting all of the Samoans who have a criminal background into Canada, because Jimmy Uso also put that out on social media where it was like, thank you, Canada, for letting me participate today.
Any other thoughts, guys, on the whole Money in the Bank pay-per-view this year?
Biggest problem was that ending was that, you know, that shouldn't have been the last match after what happened with it. Definitely shouldn't have been. You didn't have enough, you don't have enough star power on the Bloodline side to make it a main event match at this point, even with Cody Rhodes and Orton on the other.
Yeah, and that's not discrediting Kevin Owens either, where...
They should have saved the Paul Heyman annihilation for the end of this show.
Oh, 100%. Yeah, that's when you say it's like, acknowledge me as the tribal chief since I just beat the WWE Undisputed Champion. Yeah, I completely agree with that.
All right, by the looks of my beer and the sound of our voices on our reviewing of the Not So Money in the Bank, it's time for a commercial, and when we come back, we will be playing some trivia. This is DWI 440, Chairshot Radio Network, thechairshot.com.
Now a word from my god, our sponsor.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
I know you guys missed that 1-2-3 Kid theme song. It's trivia, and we're back. Last of the Money in the Bank trivia here before we go on to our SummerSlam theme. Let's see how much you guys know about this last bit of Money in the Bank here. I know Tunney's feeling a little confident being a maestro with his marker. Dan almost trying to put it in his nose, pretending it's a peace pipe.
Cha-cha-cha.
Smoke peace pipes through your nose?
I mean, if you're willing.
Cha-cha-cha. Do my
grouch. But I got three questions. I'm not going to lie, I didn't know how I was feeling, so I had to scrape together a third trivia question, but I at least have all three of them tonight. So, Tunney.
Hi.
One, two, or three?
Let's just get light right away and drop that deuce.
Drop it a deuce.
Still got some of that pizza in you.
No.
All right. Which wrestler has been cashed in against the most? So they're the champion, and they've been cashed in the most amount of times. Who is it? Everyone's deep in thought, trying to remember who's all been cashed in on.
God damn it. It's not it, but that's what I'm going to go with.
Tunney says Edge. Dan says Roman Reigns. Neither of them are the correct answer.
Cena?
It's actually John Cena.
Damn it, that's what I had. I was going to put Edge and Cena. I'm like, who's been the champ the most of the time since they've been, you know? And I'm like,
I know Edge cashed in on Cena. I thought maybe Cena got cashed in on twice, but I thought Reigns had more.
Fuck. It's three times for Cena. It is Edge on the first one, RVD for One Night Stand, and then Sandow tried cashing in on him and failed.
Oh, fucker.
So it's three. Roman's only been cashed in on twice.
Assholes.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
I'm also going to add in the fact that the missus did in fact say after the question, of course they didn't get it right because they can't see him.
Boo that woman! Boo her! Boo that lady! Boo her long and boo her hard.
Maybe later. Anyway.
Just kidding. Just kidding. We love you. We love you.
All right. Anyways, Dan, so you don't have to drop the
even
juice,
though
which...
we love her, boo her again. Show her love with your boos.
I do that anytime I offer a mixed drink. Anyway.
That's a good one. Well done.
Dan, so you don't have to take that deuce and you're still about like a year and a half strong with not taking one. Door number one or door number three?
It's all full of shit.
Definitely strong. Door number three.
All right.
Dan only shits and pisses at the same time.
It's efficient. Still got efficiency.
Not all pee-pee time is poo-poo time, but all poo-poo time is pee-pee time.
I like a little peeps with my poops.
Right? Yeah, maybe. That's a fucking question.
So the question that I have is, when did the Money in the Bank pay-per-view start? What year?
Pay-per-view?
Closest, and I'm not going to say without going over. So whoever's the closest with the year.
You just have to get it right.
If you can get it right. The pay-per-view. Not the event.
Oh,
the pay-per-view.
Oh, here we go.
Not the match, you mean.
Yes.
Yeah, pay-per-view.
And
it's a good start.
There you go. Get the 2-0 started.
Is it two boobies something?
It looks like Dan's ready with an answer.
Two boobies?
I'm almost ready. I'm buffering.
buffering. I've seen this on the videos before.
I think this is wrong.
Tunney says 2007. Dan with the correct answer of 2010.
Crappy.
Yeah.
But Tunney, if this makes you feel any better,
it doesn't.
I just want to fight. Let's go.
This is worth 5 points.
Five.
Oh.
Garbage.
Name everyone who failed to cash in and win the Money in the Bank.
Shit.
And like I alluded to before, there are five names.
You already got yours? Fuck. I only got four. Well,
I think I got enough right.
Can I buffer? I'll go with four. That's fine.
It's up to you.
I don't know another. I can't think of another one, so I don't think it matters. I'd be thinking for too long.
Let's see what they are.
We'll just go.
I also have four.
All right. Standout, Cena, Theory, Kane on
Theory.
Tunney.
Idiot. Damn it.
And Dan says Sandow, Corbin, Cena, and Otis. Kane did not fail his cash in, and Otis never cashed in. So you got 3 points each.
Yeah, but you didn't cash it in. If you don't cash, you can't fail to cash it in if you don't cash it in.
Well, then he failed. He failed.
Dan,
okay,
why are you
still
complaining?
Got three.
You
I still win.
Won regardless.
Yeah,
you
won. But you won.
How did you guys not put Drew McIntyre after he failed the pay-per-view?
Oh, fuck off. Thank God you're back, AJ.
That's how forgettable that show was.
I told you it sucked.
This is your boy, Kenny Killer, telling you to make sure you check out thechairshot.com, bringing you breaking news, interviews, podcasts galore, everything pro wrestling. Make sure you check it out, thechairshot.com.
Thechairshot.com. Always use your head.
My last call for alcohol.
What do you mean it's last call?
Oh, what do you mean? What do I mean? I'm going to kick it on over to DPP for a last call. And let me tell you, folks, it's a hot one.
Yeah, it's not video game related, which is weird that I'm leading the charge on a segment that's not video game related.
Yeah, but however, it's also very much related to eating chicken and chicken wings. And it's one of the three soul food groups in the land of DPP.
That's right. It's one of the few you can count on my hand that I actually will eat.
Before you get going here, I want to just say, though, folks, I have never been to a chicken bar before, and that is indeed something that happened at DPP's house one time. He is frying and cooking different strips of chicken and this kind of chicken and that chicken, and then there's sauce here and sauce there, and then there's this and that, and it's just like a constant replenishment of different chicken and chicken accoutrements and barbecue sauces and hot sauces. I was like, we need to open the car bar.
It was a nice kitchen island that we have here. Nice long kitchen island. We have the deep fryer going. We'll replenish. We'll throw, regular chicken wings. We'll have some chicken strips. We'll have some fried chicken pieces, thighs, breasts, whatever. And we just...
You had something else too, didn't you, that was not chicken? Didn't you have some potato something or no?
We made potato chips, and we made mozzarella sticks. Wonton-wrapped mozzarella sticks with using Jarlsberg
cheese.
They
were the homemade fried, deep-fried potato chips. That's what they were.
They're homemade. They were potatoes, yeah. Slice up the potatoes thin, put a little seasoning on them, drop them in the deep fryer. Nice and crispy. They are fantastic.
Can we deep fry some cauliflower next time?
Oh, you want vegetables? You go somewhere else, brother.
Well, what if we breaded it and everything? And
we could do cauliflower. We did that. We've done that before, actually. We've done cauliflower.
Broccoli.
PA likes the fried green tomatoes. We've done that. So
there you go.
Ooh, fried green tomatoes are really good.
We don't have to watch the movie, though, too, do we?
Well, maybe just the audio. I'll put the audiobook on. Throw that on in the background.
Sure, that'll apply.
So what are you doing next weekend, AJ? I think maybe I'll just drive out to Utah instead.
It's 2 weekends from now.
I'm not sure. We do it on a as soon as the day happens basis, so I can't tell you what we're doing next week.
All right, I've taken us off the track long enough. Do you want to? Are you going to give them the whole reasoning beforehand, or are you just going to?
My nephew's graduating high school. Graduated high school this past year here. And
let's not put him behind.
I would hope so. It's in July right now.
Yeah, no summer school for that boy. Going off to college, so we wanted to throw him a little graduation party for the close family here and everything. And I said, what do you want to cook up? And we were leaning towards the wings. He wanted the mozzarella sticks because he was here for the last soiree that PC mentioned.
And we had it.
Enjoyed it.
A great time.
And I think PC had the idea that, the show Hot Ones, he's a fan of, and Brother Joe's a fan of, and they do the different sauces and go up the levels. And we thought, you know what? Might be a good idea to do for this next chicken wing adventure that we're going to have on said weekend. So I went ahead and I got season 24 of the Hot Ones pack, and it just came in today. And we've
cannot wait to
10 sauces right here, ready to rock and roll, going down the heat levels. And seeing how this works.
I know Brady's going to do it. I can tease a guy that does that kind of stuff already. It sounded like Joe said he was in. I'm definitely in to do all 10. Are you going to do all 10?
I'm going to give it my all to do all 10. I know my other nephew, Mikey, is going to be in town, and he's going to do it.
I figure Mikey would. Yep. What about the Dillinator?
Dillinator won't do it. Well, the Dillinator would probably do it, but just on the boneless, on the tenders or something. She might try them all. She won't do it on the regular wings.
Dip in one bite. That's all I'm looking to. I'm not trying to die. I'm a guy who actually goes to the bar and does this. DP can attest. I've done and he's been with me a half a dozen times, 6-8 times I've done this. I will get the hottest fucking hot thing they have on there, but only if it's in boneless. Yeah. And my God, do you pay for that shit the next morning? I'm pretty under control. No, I am. I'm really under control at the bar. When I'm eating them, I don't like go crazy. I'm like, I'll look at you and be like, it's fucking hot. I'm hot. I drink water and eat ranch and celery, but like, I'm not walking around yelling and screaming at people, having a conniption fit. But the next morning is the worst, folks. If you've never done hot sauce like this and extended periods of it and a lot of it and ups and downs like this they do on this show, the next day, let's just put it this way. There's more than one place you taste things.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that is.
1,000%.
And the heat is 10 times worse coming out. But that being said, and that little PSA, DP.
Yeah.
I love that show. Have you watched the show?
I have not watched the show, but I'm obviously going to have to watch this so I understand the whole premise. And I know they're more of a conversation and they just eat, but...
It's on YouTube for any of you who haven't watched Sean Evans. It's had umpteen seasons now, but I would recommend just looking at their guest lists over the season and going watch an episode for people that you like sports wise, music wise, TV wise, movie wise, etc. Because he's had everybody on.
Oh yeah. Without a doubt. I mean, I think the two had
Serena on.
Yeah, he had Serena on. I know two other people that off the top of my head that he had on. He had Shaquille O'Neal, Idris Elba.
He's had a ton of people. He's had Stone Cold, Mick Foley, tons of people.
If you're a fan of The Boys, I believe that he also had Anthony Starr and Chase, the guy who plays The Deep, also on their Versus channel.
Versus they got series. A whole bunch of different branches off of that, but... So you can go online to Heatnist, and you can get the different packs, heatnist.com, Heat on Ist. And I think the last 3 years are out, but DP,
you can get
and you can also get like different favorites, and then Hot Ones has their own three, and you can get different packs. But run down the lineup from start to finish on Hot Ones season 24.
So the first one is a Hot Ones brand called the Classic Garlic Fresno Edition. 1,700 Scoville heat units on that one. So
that one you're kind of looking at like just a classic hot sauce, probably like your just Tabasco, a good flavor.
Or Cholula, something standard. Like that. Yeah.
Number two is a Double Comfort Foods brand, Seeing Double. 6,200 units, so a big jump from 1,700.
Does it have any? Does it say what kind of sauce it is at all?
Jalapenos, herbs, and a hint of sweetness come together. So
that one's probably not that bad.
Shouldn't be too bad, I don't think. Number three is Mark's.
I think you're looking at. Oh, go ahead. Yeah.
Mark's fermented kimchi, which is 18,000 Scoville units. Salty, that's spicy, gonna be a different... pickly.
Yeah. If you've never had kimchi before, this is a different Korean kind of taste.
Yeah. That you got might some not Thai chili, to, got some soy. It's probably really a little good. Yeah. Probably a little stickier, but I bet you it's really good flavor. Number four is another Hot Ones called Los Calientes Barbacoa. 33,000 Scoville units. We're starting to get up there. Oof, it's a smokier sauce. Applewood smoked jalapeno, red jalapenos, habanero.
So that's nice. In your like Tabasco and cayenne area.
Yeah. Should be a nice one there. Number five, Fat Cat Gourmet, the one I'm looking forward to just for the name. Chamberlain Meow's Revenge. I like it. Scorpion Peppers from Trinidad. Spot early like in the lineup for one of the hottest peppers on the planet. Yeah. 54,000 Scoville units on that one.
Okay, so that's like a Thai pepper.
Yeah.
Number six, Amina 2 mg plus. It's the name of this one. 71,000 on the Scoville rating.
Now we're Barcelona. Getting closer to like a hot habanero or scotch bonnet.
Yeah, ingredients, Spanish. Habanero, pepper, puree, onion, garlic, olive oil, all that stuff. But yeah, habanero pepper puree.
Looks good. Number seven, Black Eyed Susan called the Red Flag. And we're hitting the 100,000s, 126,000 Scoville units. Ooh. Let's see. That one, another scorpion pepper one, so similar to one from before.
They kind of take you on a roller coaster, and he'll even tell you that if you watch a lot of the episodes. Like, you know, they'll kind of ramp it up 1, 2, 3, and maybe level off at 4, and then up 5, and down 6, and then hit you again at 7, and then. Yeah. 8's the worst possible thing you can have on the fucking planet of Earth, and it's been the same one since they started the show, DP.
Has it really? It's Da Bomb Evolution.
Yep. Da Bomb Beyond Insanity. Yeah, and they got the Evolution one now, but yeah, it's the worst. Everybody knows it's the worst one. It gets everybody every time. It's just not... I have a feeling it's going to taste like when I had the nuclear out at Panos, and... we could smell them coming out of the kitchen 20 yards away.
Nice.
That one was rough. Yeah. I don't eat pickles, and I had a few fried pickles to calm me down. Oh, man.
And then that one's 135,000 Scovilles as well.
Yeah. Number nine, we're taking a huge jump here, so I'm interested in these next two. High River Brands, Peppers Up, which is 700,000 Scoville units. Interesting. The Apollo pepper, I don't know what that is. That's the main ingredient, but that's going to be interesting. And then we have number 10. It's a Hot Ones brand called the Last Dab Experience.
Last Dab. Yep.
Yes, because on the last wing of the night, DP, even though they've already been tossed and dressed, it's tradition to shake the bottle up and add
a dab. Oh, God.
Of extra sauce.
Add a dabbing
of sauce on top of an already dressed wing and have the sauce hit your tongue, right? That's so the last dab. That's the last wing. That's what they do.
Of a 2.7 million Scoville unit.
Yeah. What is it, sauce. Carolina? Or is it, is it Reaper X? Is it Pepper X or is it Carolina?
Pepper X. I think
Pepper X. Yeah, it's a greater brand. Than the guy who invented the Carolina
Pepper X sauce. Oof. Motherfucker. Yeah. That.
Yeah, that
so we're going to need sound. DP. We're going to need ice cream.
5 gallons of milk.
We're going to need milk. Ranch. And I think yogurt is good too.
Anything that's dairy will any help dairy. You out.
That especially.
But some of it you just there's nothing you can do about it.
Oh god, no. I remember back when I used to work at a gym.
Videotape this, DP. Everybody yeah, doing
you,
it
you individually? Should. You should.
You do it one at a time?
Should. We should.
Yeah, there's two.
We could cut the reactions together into one. One.
Yeah, you definitely should do that. But there are two spicy stories. There was one guy back when I used to work at a Planet Fitness in Pennsylvania where he brought in Reaper peppers. And I'm just like, yeah, sure, I'll try it. I just got into my shift and everything. So I bit into the entire thing. Let me tell you, I know that I said drink milk or any form of dairy. Do not drink protein milk to try to subdue this, because that will burn even more.
Yeah, you just gotta wait it out most of the time and just kind of mentally get through it.
Yeah,
there's
easiest
there's
50
not a lot
bucks I ever
it.
Made. But don't get me wrong, easiest 50 bucks I ever made. But don't drink protein milk or anything like that. The second one is the IWC War Chief and I, good old Andrew Belaz. He got one of the older seasons, and they had something that was hotter than the last dab. I forget exactly what it's called. I know he still has it in his house. But there was something that was hotter than the last dab. So from a television show that we used to watch, they did dares and bets against each other for an episode. And one of them was called the Meatball Roulette, where you had 12 meatballs. Two of them had like the spiciest stuff you can think of inside of that meatball, and you had to eat it. And unfortunately, we had spaghetti that day. We wanted to try it. So I had one of those spicy meatballs. He had the other spicy one, and meatball. It was.
And they stopped and took a bite and looked up at each other and said, "Wow, that's a spicy meatball!
And that's a spicy meatball!"
And I think that's our show today here on DWI. AJ, welcome back, bro. It's so good to see you. Let everybody know where they can find yo ass.
It is good to be back, not going to lie. I know I've been sipping on my glass a little bit here, but you could follow me at PhenomenalAJB. That's AJB in all caps everywhere you go. Don't forget, like Tunny said before, at the beginning of the hour, we're not just podcast galore, we are articles galore, sports entertainment, you name it, we got it all on thechairshot.com.
You can find me all over the worldwide social media interwebs, that it's me, DPP, and make sure you're following this show at Podcast DWI on that X and Facebook.com/DWI podcast.
You can follow me at PC Tony. Continue to listen to everything Chair Shot Radio Network, along with thechairshot.com. Always use your head. Yeah, we did it again. 440. I am going to start building my tolerance back up, and I'm going to kick the wings' ass. Bye. See you next week.
2 weeks, bitch.
No, but we'll be back next week on the show.
Right. 2 weeks.
No, the show will be back next week. Stop talking, Dan. Don't know. How does Patrick mute people?
TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, Our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.